You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, Republicans are trying to make good on their promise to repeal Obamacare. We'll get the latest on the battle over the health care law on Capitol Hill.
First, this time of year, people often resolve to make healthier choices, which might mean starting a diet. But a lot of diets and other New Year's resolutions end up abandoned, sometimes just after a few weeks. It's easy to lose steam after a couple of weeks, especially if we have big goals without a good plan in place.
Our guest says habits are the key. We need to start good habits and phase out bad ones. Dr. Donald Hensrud is with us now. He's the medical editor for the Mayo Clinic Diet. He's also medical director of the Mayo Clinic Healthy Living Program and specialist in nutrition and preventive medicine. Dr. Hensrud, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, why do you call this Mayo Clinic Diet a lifestyle approach?
Great question. And we call it the Mayo Clinic Diet for two reasons. One is there's been a so-called Mayo Clinic Diet that's followed us around for 40 or 50 years, and there never was one until now. We put our oar in the water, and we created the Mayo Clinic Diet to clear up this confusion. The second reason is the way people look for information on weight management is through the term diet. But the Mayo Clinic Diet is much more than a diet. It's a lifestyle change program. But we wanted to get people's attention. We wanted to meet them where they're looking, and that's why we arrived at that name.
When people hear diet, I think words that might pop in their heads are willpower and sacrifice. And those are not words I see a lot in your book. That you're coming at it at a different angle.
You're exactly right. We try and get people to focus on the long term and on making positive, practical, and enjoyable lifestyle changes that are sustainable. The typical thing I see in my office is somebody will come in and they'll say, "Oh, I've got to go on a diet," and it's, you know, the world's coming to an end, and it's negative, it's restrictive, and that's the way we commonly approach these things, and therefore it's going to be temporary. So we try a different approach with people. There's a lot of, as you can tell, a lot of positive information in there. We're their partner in this. And it's not easy, but it is possible. And we give people the tools to help them do this.
You've got to divide it into a couple of phases, a lose it phase and a live it phase. And the live it phase is the one everyone's trying to get to. But tell us how they're different.
Great question. And we know that people want to lose weight quickly. Tomorrow it couldn't be soon enough. And so we looked in the literature and we found all the things that we could find that are related to either decreased calories in, increased calories burned, or weight management that are evidence-based. And they're related to habits. And we throw the kitchen sink at people. We ask people in the lose it phase for 2 weeks to add 5 habits, break 5 habits, and adopt 5 bonus habits. And they're very simple things. When we did this in our pilot program, people lost, on average, 8 pounds in the first 2 weeks, and most people lost 6 to 10 pounds. Now, that's too fast long-term, but short-term, we were happy with this. It helped people break into weight loss. There's nothing unsafe about it because all of the habits were very simple and safe and practical. And so when they did this, it was challenging for people, but when they did this, they were quite successful. Some of the habits were, for example, eat breakfast. Now, that sounds kind of very simple, but in the literature, if you eat breakfast, you're more likely to manage weight long term. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Again, very simple, but it's something that we don't always do. We have good intentions, and if you look in the medical literature, people who eat more fruits and vegetables and people who change to eat more fruits and vegetables actually have a much easier time managing weight because they're not eating something else that's higher in calories. One of the more challenging ones for people in Break 5 Habits was no eating while watching TV, and you can only watch as much TV as the time you spend exercising. So that was a difficult one because oftentimes we eat TV. We're not telling people not to watch TV, but we often mindlessly munch while we're watching TV, and it's a sedentary activity. So we just want people to get moving, and the cumulative effect of all of these changes was the 8 pounds weight loss over 2 weeks.
Talking to Dr. Donald Hensrud from the Mayo Clinic, author of the Mayo Clinic Diet, part of the team that put this book together. And Dr. Hensrud, let's talk about some of those habits you mentioned. You know, eat vegetables and fruits. It's easy to say. I think by now we all know that we need to do it. And yet most of us probably need to do more of it. So how do we start planning that? How do we start making ourselves fall into that habit of eating more fruits and vegetables?
So in the lose it phase, we just tell people to go for it. We don't tell them how. We just jump in and try and swim. In the live it phase, that's where we transition people to long-term lifestyle changes. And we give people other tools. We use the Mayo Clinic Healthy Weight Pyramid to show people what types of foods they should eat. Fruits and vegetables are at the bottom. One of the things that people wanted and why we released the second edition was many people say, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. It's difficult for me to come up with ideas. So we came up with menus. We have 4 weeks of menus and new recipes in there that people can follow if they want that. And we also have in the back an action guide. Everybody has challenges in this area. We all know it sounds simple, eat less, exercise more, but really doing it is challenging. The interesting thing is that everybody has different challenges. So in the action guide, what we did, we took many of these challenges in diet. I don't like fruits and vegetables, for example, is one. And we give people practical strategies on how to deal with them. So if somebody doesn't like fruits and vegetables, well, maybe there's one or two they can focus on. Or maybe there are ways of putting vegetables in other foods, such as soups or casseroles. And so there may not be a perfect solution, but we think there are partial solutions for virtually every challenge.
Now, one tricky one of these habits, and this is in your bonus 5 habits section, after the holidays, is no sugar. A lot of us are a little sugared out, myself included, but after a while, I know I'm going to want to eat something with sugar again. So tell us about why that one you think is important.
So we put that in there because sugar intake, despite all the sugar-free products, has increased tremendously over the past few decades in this country, and it has been related to increased weight. So we think that's important. We're talking about added sugar here, so not the sugar in fruits. What we found in the 2-week lose-it phase was that people, initially, they thought it was very challenging. But when they tried some of these things, when they got into it, it wasn't as bad as what they thought. It's only for 2 weeks. And once they got into it, for example, we had one of our patients used to put a lot of sugar in his coffee. And for that 2-week period, it was tough to avoid sugar. Afterwards, however, after he became much more aware of how much he was putting in and how much he was consuming, he went back to just putting a little bit in. So it empowered people to try and make these changes when they were and they were successful during the lose it phase. And then afterwards, they can work on putting them into long-term habits.
Well, I gave this a try today, actually. I was looking at the book, and I went out on my snack run, which usually ends up with a pastry or a cookie of some sort. I'm at the grocery store. Blueberries, not too expensive. I got those instead. I like blueberries. They're not as good with coffee. But is that part of the equation here, not just eliminate something else, but get something to take its place, fulfill its role in my life?
You're exactly right. If you look at the habits in the first section, we say eat more fruits and vegetables. Eat whole grains instead of refined grains like white flour and things like that. Eat healthy fats such as nuts and olive oil. And if you do that, then the focus is a positive message on what we can eat. And by subtraction, then you're not consuming something else that's higher in calories.
Well, in the same vein, another habit, no snacks. You want us to give up snacks, but not totally asterisk, fruits and veggies are okay.
That's right. And again, the reason is that snacking is one of the things that's been shown to be related to increased calorie intake and increased weight. But if you, we're not telling people not to snack, but just try and focus more on fruits and vegetables. I hear from many of my patients that, I like fruits and vegetables, but they just don't seem to find their way into my diet. It's, something else is more convenient. But once people start to focus on this a little bit more, it becomes easier than what they thought, and they really appreciate the taste. Your blueberries, for example, I bet they weren't too bad.
They were good, and I separated them from the coffee because coffee and blueberries, it just doesn't work. I don't know.
Dr. Hensrud, is there a fruit that does go well with coffee? I can't think of one.
I'd have to think about that. If there is, we could make some money on that one.
We're talking to Dr. Donald Hensrud right now about the new book, The Mayo Clinic Diet.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you stick with new health habits? Have you had a success story? Maybe one of the habits we've been talking about, cutting the snacks and the sugar, eating more fruits and veggies, getting more exercise. What worked for you to get you to do that? Or do you need some inspiration, some solutions, some help overcoming an obstacle to doing the stuff that you know is healthy, you just haven't made it part of your daily life? Call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're picking up our discussion now with Dr. Donald Hensrud, medical editor for the Mayo Clinic Diet.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you someone who's been on and off diets over the years? Is there something that works for you, something that doesn't? Have you successfully made a health habit change, regular exercise, better eating, you name it, that you made stick over time for the long run, part of your daily life? Call us and tell us about it, or get some inspiration to help you do that, maybe in 2017. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
And we have a first caller now. Mark is with us in Milwaukee. Mark, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to ask?
I had a comment that the doctor was talking about fruit, and I have a habit that I've had for a few years now where I eat a banana at 10:30 to sit at the office, as close to 10:30 as I can get it. And actually, it's become such a habit that I get hungry right around 10:30 and just eat that banana, and it's kind of an office joke, but it's worked for me. I've been a vegan since the mid-1980s, and I hardly get sick, even a common cold. I just don't seem to get that. Of course, I get exercise and stuff, too, but I think it's partly because of my diet. I have something I call a dessert exception, though. I have not been able to give up cookies and cake and stuff like that that come my way, so I'm not 100% vegan, but close to it.
Interesting. Thank you, Mark. And Mark's got a good habit with his banana break at 10:30 in the morning. Is that a good way to go, Dr. Hensrud?
Absolutely. I mean, he's made that a part of his lifestyle, and that he would, you know, as he was alluding to, I think he'd be missing it if he didn't do it. So we develop habits that aren't so healthy or good for us, and we can form good ones. The other thing about fruit that is interesting, since we're talking about that, one of the reasons we recommend a lot of fruits and vegetables are they're low in what's called energy density. Now, that's a fancy term, but you could think of calorie density. What it means is for the bulk and volume that they have, they contain very few calories. If you think about it, it's not calories that fill you up. It's the volume or weight of food that we eat. So fruits and vegetables have a lot of weight, a lot of volume, and when you eat those, you're not getting in as much calories. For example, there's the same amount of calories in 1 1/3 sticks of butter as there is in 10 or 11 heads of lettuce or 35 cups of green beans. Now, you're not going to want to eat that, but the point is if people are eating more fruits and vegetables, they can actually eat more food and get in less calories.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Jared with us in Eau Claire. Jared, hi.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
I've been a truck driver for about 11 years now. Been having a hard time trying to manage weight, diet, this, that, and the other. I really can't seem to get below the 200-pound mark once I've reached it. You're 14 hours a day working, 11 of it driving, sitting. It's very hard to find, you know, a good balance between, you know, meals and time for exercise and things of that nature. And I was just kind of curious to see if what options out there, you know, for us guys and, you know, gals that work in this kind of environment.
And Jared, not always the healthiest food available to you, I bet.
Oh, no. You go, you know, stop at the truck stop to get some fuel, and it's either hot dogs or McDonald's, Hardee's, you know, maybe a Subway here and there.
Jared, thanks for that call. Dr. Hensrud, advice for Jared.
Yeah, really good question. And that's, you know, we talked about challenges, and everybody has different challenges. And this is a big one because physical activity during the time that he's on the road is very difficult to do. I don't have an easy answer for that other than to say he'll have to emphasize diet a little bit more. And the good news is if you really look closely at the medical literature, it's more effective to lose weight through diet than it is in physical activity. Now, both are important, don't get me wrong, but if somebody tried to do it just through exercise, it's not as easy to do as if you do it through diet. So it is possible. Some suggestions that I would have for him, and the other thing that challenge he has is the time factor, that you know you can't starve yourself when you're sitting there all day. I think our program would work pretty well because, again, we allow all the vegetables and fruits that people want to eat. There's virtually unlimited amounts. So I'd encourage him to, he does have to put in some planning, some effort into food choices, to carry good things with him in the truck. Whenever I travel, for example, I always carry fruit and some nuts in my computer case so I'm not caught having to eat whatever's there. And I think if he shifted what he ate rather than how much on our program, I think that might help him out.
Jared, thanks a lot for that call, and good luck to you. And Dr. Hensrud, I want to ask you, you mentioned medical literature, and I'm starting to see more and more stories about how diets actually don't work, that people gain back the weight, and some people's bodies just don't have that metabolism set point. I mean, do you think we might one day be at the point where we're not talking about diets anymore, but we're talking about something else?
I think you're exactly right. And what I call that is a dieter's mentality, that people are either on a diet or off a diet. And we talked about that a little bit earlier on. The attitude that people have going into this is drudgery. It doesn't have to be, I think, if people approach it in the right way. Instead of looking at something that you're either on or off, try and take baby steps and make small changes with lifestyle changes long term. Focus on the positive. Many people say, when I was more active, when I weighed a little less, I felt better. And so listen to that, and that can be real motivating. Focus on quality of life as well as weight loss. And sometimes people get too focused on the numbers on the scale. They want to lose 50 pounds in a very short period of time. My analogy with that, in business terms, it's like saying I want to make $1 million but not have a good financial plan on how to do it. So the planning and the process and the program is very important, and not necessarily focus only on the outcome. This sounds funny, but I tell my patients, if you're eating better and if you're more active, your health is going to improve even if you don't lose a pound. Now, obviously, that's one of the goals, but it can become a secondary goal, and paradoxically, it can become easier to lose weight if people take the pressure off the scale and just focus on making healthy lifestyle changes.
Dr. Donald Hensrud is with us to help us build some healthier habits for the long run. He's medical editor for the Mayo Clinic Diet. Back to your calls now with Jacob on the line in Eau Claire. Jacob, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What's your story, Jacob?
Well, I was in the military, and to get in, I had to lose 30 pounds. And then once I got in, I lost 36 pounds, so I lost quite a bit of weight. And then when I had gotten out, I ended up putting all of that weight back on. And then for years, you know, it was hard to lose weight, and I couldn't really do it until I got my wife involved with me in losing the weight. And she really, you know, kind of worked with me quite a bit. We started meal planning and making all of our lunches and our dinners ahead of time for the family. And that seemed to really help out a lot. And then we do a half hour to an hour of exercise every day after work, even though I was really tired, you know, from working. She really helped me stay motivated and keep me at it. And, you know, I've lost, you know, a lot of weight. And then she didn't really have a lot to lose, but she's definitely lost a lot of inches. You know, we're both really happy with the progress we're making, and we even can get our kids to help us out and, you know, work out with us and stuff. And it's a lot of fun. It's become more of a lifestyle family activity, you know, and it's been really nice.
Jacob, thank you so much for sharing that story. And Dr. Hensrud, in the book, you talk about getting your family on board so they know what's going on with the changes in food and activity.
Boy, he should really be proud, and he's doing some really good things. Support is very important. Whether it's family, coworkers, friends, they can really help out. And if you have a good support system, that can make a big difference, as it is in his case. The other thing he mentioned was planning. A lot of the work, so-called work, is in the planning. And if you plan well and have good food around, put in a little bit of time in preparing food, as he mentioned, it's well worth it, and it can go a long way. So he's doing a lot of really good things there.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jacob. Great story. And we're going to go next to Jesse in Waupaca. Jesse, hi.
Hi. I was just calling in. I wanted to mention my wife and I both lost about 130 pounds, and it really just it came from making a lot of substitutions throughout our diet and really just sticking to some exercise program.
So you lost 130 pounds each of you? That's, well, either way you slice it, it's pretty incredible. Can you give us, Jesse, an example of a small change that you made that helped?
We did a lot of things like, you know, instead of eating rice, we started substituting quinoa for rice. When we went to eat bread, instead of eating bread, we went to whole grains instead of white. A lot of just, like, portion control is a real big part of it. And then a lot of just getting as much exercise as we can, whether it's walking, running. We now both compete and run in half marathons and marathons every year. So. Mm.
Jesse, thank you for calling. That's, I'm sure, inspiring to lots of people listening right now. And he's saying, yeah, maybe it's better to break it down into these small steps, Dr. Hensrud.
And again, very good story. And the things that these people are talking about, they're not earth-shattering. It's planning. It's small steps. And over time, if you stick with them, if it's practical, if it's enjoyable, then these things can be sustainable. And these people should be very proud of that.
Dr. Hensrud, leave us with a couple things people can maybe start doing at dinner time tonight.
Eat more. Eat more vegetables and fruits. That's one of our habits, and people will be surprised that they don't have to decrease the amount that they're eating of those foods. They're low in calories. A couple other things. One is the lifestyle that leads to healthy weight doesn't have to be drudgery. As we've talked about, it can be practical, safe, enjoyable, and therefore sustainable over time. If people want more information, the book's available in stores everywhere. It's available online at our website, mayoclinic.org. And if people want to take a deep dive into weight loss, we have an on-site program at the Mayo Clinic Healthy Living Program in Rochester, Minnesota, and they can Google us at Mayo Clinic Healthy Living if they're interested in that.
Dr. Hensrud, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Dr. Donald Hensrud, medical editor of the Mayo Clinic Diet. He's also medical director of the Mayo Clinic Healthy Living Program and specialist in nutrition and preventive medicine. Share your health improvements, changes you've made. Tweet us right now at Central Time WPR.